Did you know that the Castle Hotel is a proud supporter of Kootenai Co-op Radio? Because they are.
The KCR Friends Card offers its holders discounts at a variety of supporting local businesses. Ellison's Market on Front Street in Ellison provides 10% off all regularly priced produce and 5% off frozen and fresh meat. The KCR Friends Card, another one of the many benefits of membership in Kootenai Co-op Radio.
Support for Kootenai Co-op Radio comes from Gaia Rising at 356 Baker Street in Nelson.
Kootenai Wood Stoves is a proud supporter of the Kootenai Co-op Radio.
You wanna blow off some steam? Turn on your stereo. If it's Friday night, there's only one place to go. 96 or 93, 107 you can choose. If it's Friday night, make some room for the blues. Trains keep on chugging, my hammer rings all day.
Welcome to Make Room for the Blues, the Kootenai's Blues Show, heard live every Friday from 7 till 9 and rebroadcast the following day, Saturday from 12 to 2 on Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY 93.5 in Nelson, 96.5 Crawford Bay, Gray Creek, Ryandale, Proctor, Harrop, Queens Bay, and up towards Caslow, 101.5 in the lower Slocan Valley and Castlegar, and 107.5 in the Silverton, New Denver area. I'm your host, Richard. And the first part of Make Room for the Blues is brought to us by Smokewood Barbecue, where you can get that real deal Southern barbecue right here in town on the corner of Kootenai and Victoria Street. And Resolution Place, if you've got some legal issues to deal with people, then get a hold of Susan Kurtz at resolutionplace.ca. So we got a bit of a special show tonight. I've got a guest, Michael Guthrie, formerly of Caslow. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Pretty good, Rich.
It's glad to have you aboard. Michael's been here before. We did the show before. Michael is a blues troubadour and singer, songwriter. He's now living in, well, why should I tell him? Oh, why don't you tell us who you are?
Currently living in Seattle, Washington. And I do have a second home here in Caslow, B.C. And with my lovely daughter, Jolie. And, I originally came to Caslow back in 1971 with my wife, Darlene Guthrie. And in 1973, we started a cafe called the Village Green Cafe on Front Street. And we soon started having musicians play there. Rick Bochner was the first person to play there. And next thing we knew, people from across Canada were sending us promo packages and albums and wanting to play there. Ken Ham played there on his first Canadian tour, and Bruce Coburn even stopped in one day and was sitting there. He had ordered lunch, and someone came to me back in the kitchen and said, "Mike, you won't believe Bruce Coburn is out front." And so I went out and introduced myself, and he'd ordered an egg salad sandwich, and I said, "Hey, Bruce, would you like to play a song for your meal?" And he goes, "Oh, sure." So I went and got my guitar out of the office, and he started playing music. And then my wife, Dara, went out and started jamming with him on the piano, and they played for about an hour. It was pretty cool.
I guess so.
Such a great guy, you know. And later on, I had this idea to form a society and save the Langham, and asked some friends of mine in town to if they wanted to do it, and they agreed, and some folks like Fred Higley, Barb Scrivens, Pat and Jackie Boyer, Alan and Gloria Davidson, Bart Darnell and Jim Van Horn all came on board, and the original 10 founders of the Constitution and Bylaws wrote them up there in the Village Green, and the rest is history, I guess you could say.
And that was how many years ago?
That was back in the late summer of 1974.
Wow, that's amazing.
40 years ago.
And that's one of the reasons you're here. But
yes, it is.
You can tell us a little bit about that event, but how about a tune first?
Okay, well, I'll just do a little. One of my influences in music, I like to just add that I'm celebrating playing folk and blues music for 50 years now.
Wow.
And one of my early influences was Taj Mahal. Cindy going fishing all the time, baby going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet life, gonna catch more fish than you. Big fish bites if you cock it, babe. Here's a little tip that I would like to relay. Any fish will bite if you cock it, babe. I'm a going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing, and my baby going fishing too. Well, baby brother about to drive me out of my mind, said, can I go fishing with you? I took him down to the fishing hole. What do you think he did do? Pulled a great big fish out the bottom of the pond, and he laughed and jumped cause he was real gone. Fish will bite if you cock it, babe. I'm a going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing, and my baby going fishing too. Well, you put him in the pot and you put him in the pan and you cook him till he's nice and brown. Mix a batch of buttermilk, whole cakes, mama. You chew them things and you chomp them all down, singing, big fish bites if you cock it, babe. Here's a little tip that I would like to relay. Any fish will bite if you got good bait. I'm a going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing, and my baby going fishing too.
All right, that was nice, Michael.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, Taj Mahal was a big influence for me as well. I think he influenced a whole generation of because he was really. For me, he was the link to going back to acoustic blues. I mean, when I heard Statesboro Blues on that first album, man, where did that come from? And, you know, that led me to Blind Willie McTell, and he did Sleepy John Esty songs on that album. And then when he did Karina on his second album, you know, that opened up Mississippi John Hurt.
Yeah, I got a great secondhand Taj Mahal story here. Some of you may know Randy Kuhn, a great blues player, lives up in New Denver. And he's one of the early performers at the Village Green. And he told me this story once where he was on the Sunset Strip back in the 60s at the Whiskey a Go-Go, and Taj Mahal was playing there. And as some of you know, he had a rockin' electric band at that time, too. And so he came out, and first he played an acoustic set. And a bunch of people started getting up and walking out because they wanted rock and roll. Because this was the rock and roll scene, you know.
Right.
Acid and the whole nine yards. And so, after really the only people left were the real true Taj Mahal fans. And Taj Mahal says, okay, now that the people are gone that don't really like my music, I'm going to bring the band out. We're going to get it on.
He fooled them, didn't he? He had that great guitarist, Jesse Ed Davis, who played with him in the early days. Man, he was a great slide player. Well, you know, it just so happens I brought a Taj Mahal acoustic album, An Evening of Acoustic Music. It's a pretty rare album that he recorded over in Germany. And maybe I'll play a cut. But first, why don't you tell us a little bit about why you're here at this particular time, besides to visit your daughter and friends in Kassel. There's an event going on, isn't there?
There is, actually. And it's the Langham Cultural Society 40th Gala Celebration. And 40 years old we are, you could say, and just a tremendous amount of people along the way have contributed to the Langham's success and still are, coming up on Thanksgiving weekend on the 10th, 11th, and 12th, there's going to be a welcome reception on the 10th, which is Friday night at 7 at the Langham, and then there will be a showcase concert at the church, the United Church, after that with some regional performers. And then on Saturday night, there's going to be a gala dance, which we're trying to recreate in the flavor of the old Langham, dances that the Langham and other people hosted at the Legion, Caswell Legion Hall. And that's going to have several musicians playing. I'll be doing the first set. Tom and Jerry and the 98s will be doing the second set. And then the Roosters, which is George McQuaig, Jerry Hamilton, and Drew Burkett, will be doing a third set. And then Chris Lindgaard's going to come on. And then Leah Main and Michael Dorsey from New Denver will be coming over to do a set as well. And so that's going to be a fun night.
Wow, yeah. Sounds like a full night.
And then there's talk of a open mic, if anyone's interested, at the Langham on Sunday night. So contact the Langham if you're interested in showing up and playing.
And are tickets available everywhere or just at the Langham? Or
I believe Eddie's Music is supposed to have some tickets.
Here in town?
Here in town.
Hear that, people?
Uh-huh. And Willow Furnishings in Caslow and at the Langham. You might be able to even call Maggie at the Langham and reserve a ticket. I'm not sure about that, but
sure if you called, you'd be able to connect.
Yeah.
So that's next Saturday night, people, up in Caslow, the great community of Caslow. I mean, look at a town like that and the arts and the musicians. I mean, the Kootenays is just, amazing place. I mean, you live now in Western Washington, right?
Yeah.
And do you find, we think we're kind of in the bubble here and we're really, different, but is there communities like this?
They're everywhere, yeah. Actually. You know, I play down in the Tri-Cities every year on Labor Day weekend, which is down in South Central Washington, actually. And it's Richland, Kennewick, and Pasco. Some of you know the area as Hanford Nuclear Reservation.
Right.
But they have a great little festival there called Tumbleweed Music Festival, and I've played there for the last 12 years, and there's just a rich community there of dance, all kinds of ethnic dance. In fact, a few years back, they had the North American Irish Dance Champions.
Well,
had a group there, and I actually did sound for them at their performance, which was kind of cool. But they just get a lot of songwriters there, and so there's, I've played down in Florence, Oregon, a couple of years ago at a really nice festival there. Barry McGuire was the headliner, and I was kind of proud to be on the bill with Barry McGuire,
yeah.
And John York from the Byrds, and I was amazed. Every night at one of the hotels, everybody was invited to a big jam, and people came out of the woodwork from the local community, and there's just a plethora of musicians everywhere I go and play at these festivals.
Wow.
I'm just amazed.
And isn't there a big acoustic blues camp and workshops and stuff? What's the name of that festival?
Puget Sound Guitar Camp.
Yeah.
Every summer.
Yeah.
I haven't actually ever been to that, but it's everybody raves about
there,
it.
There's some great players from all over.
Yeah.
Robert Balfour from Mississippi, an older Delta blues player I know has gone and played in there, and the lineup is phenomenal.
Yeah, there's the Port Townsend Country Blues.
Yeah, that's the
festival.
One I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah, and they that's a really good thing every year. yeah, it's amazing. And of course, when I first moved here, I was amazed at how many musicians there were in the Kootenays. And Michael Dorsey, who's playing at the Langham, is one of those early musicians who came here from Vancouver with Bruce Rathe, and they used to play, you know, some of you may remember Bruce Rathe, who sadly passed away a few years back, but great songwriter, yeah. And I used to play in a band with Bruce back in the late 70s, a country rock band, and we used to do the Winterland Circuit, and I played bass in a band with him, and I remember when we first immigrated to Canada, and we lived on Galliano Island for a while, and we mentioned we were coming to the Kootenays, and we were jamming with some people there, and they said, well, you're going to be amazed at all the great musicians out there. And this was in 71.
Yeah. There's still great musicians moving here. I'm not a bluegrass fan, but I think his name is Greg Gorth, or the banjo player, is like this world famous banjo player, has moved here, and
it's a magnet.
Yeah. Well, it's Kootenay good magnet. Good living in the Kootenays.
It's all that Galena in the mountains.
Yeah, right? I'm sure that's what it is. What would you want to hear a cut off this? An evening of acoustic music from Taj Mahal. It was recorded in Germany. He's got a tuba player on it. I'll play. He does a really nice cover of Robert Johnson's Dust My Broom. I think we'll play that.
Getting up soon in the morning, believe I dust my room. Getting up soon in the morning, big mama, believe I dust my room. With the best girl I've been loving, my friends can't have my room. I don't want no woman, won't every downtown man see me. Honey, I don't want no woman, won't every downtown man see me. Mama said that woman ain't nothing but a no good phony, phony shirt. Mile that woman out there on the street. I'm gonna write a letter, tell them on every town I know. Write you a little letter, baby, tell them on every town I know. Well, if she ain't down in Jackson, Mississippi, she down in East Monroe, I know. I'm gonna write you a letter, baby. Honey, I'm gonna send you a telegram. Write you a little letter, baby. Honey, send you a telegram. Well, my mama know I'm over here in Bremen, but she don't know where in the hell I am. If this sunshine to my baby, gonna be my lucky day. If this sunshine tomorrow, baby, honey, gonna be my lucky day. Well, now the wind gonna rise up, mama, and blow my blues away. Honey, I'm gonna call up China, see my babies over there. I'm gonna call up China, baby, see my babies over there. Well, now I've seen him in China, she's down in Ethiopia land up on the beach somewhere. I do believe I dust my room. I do believe, pretty baby, believe I dust my room. With the best girl I've been loving, my friends can have my love. Mm-hmm. up soon in the morning. Please buy dust my plume. Getting up soon in the morning. Please buy dust my broom. With the bear skirt I've been loving, yeah, my friend stayed at my room. With the bear skirt I've been loving, friend stayed at my room. With the bear skirt I've been loving, my friend stayed at my room. With the best girl I've been loving, my friends can't hear me.
Yeah, An Evening with Taj Mahal in Germany from an album called An Evening of Acoustic Music. So, you know, Michael, Taj had a connection here with some people who used to live out in the valley, Tom and Sally Drake. Unfortunately, Tom recently passed away. As you said, you knew one of his sons. His sons are musicians and have played here.
Yeah, Steve Drake.
Yeah. And Michael was his first road manager. When he left New England to move to California, Tom Drake was his road manager.
Oh, wow.
And so he came up here back in the 70s. He played a trail, which turned out not to be a very good concert. It was freezing cold, and his hands couldn't get warm. But he had a real connection. In fact, on one of his early albums, he does an acoustic song called Tom and Sally Drake that I've played here on Make Room for the Blues.
Oh, very cool.
So you got another tune in you for us?
Sure, I could do another tune here. Maybe I'll do do a tune that Lead Belly did. I do it a little different. It's called Good Morning Blues. Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? Well, I said, good morning, blues. How do you do? Well, I'm doing all right. Good morning, how are you? Well, I sent for you yesterday, and here you come a walking today. Well, I sent for you yesterday, and here you come a-walking today. You got your mouth wide open, and you don't know what to say. I said, good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? Well, I said, good morning, blues. Doing all right. Good morning, how are you? Well, it was late last night, I was turning from side to side. Ah, yes, I was turning from side to side. Well, I wasn't sick, I was just dissatisfied. Good morning, blues. Blues, how do you do? Well, I said, good morning, blues. How do you do? Well, I'm doing all right. Good morning, how are you? Well, I woke up this morning and the blues is walking.
do. Well, I said, good morning, blues. How do you do? Well, I'm doing all right. Good morning, how are you? Well, I'm doing all right. Good morning.
Thanks, Mike. That's a nice
good
one.
Morning blues.
Yeah. Tell us about that guitar you're playing.
Well, this is a late 1930s Harmony Archtop. One of my hobbies is finding old beat-up guitars and restoring them, and this is one of them. And when I found this guitar, all it had was the body and the neck, which was kind of broken in the heel and the joint, and glue smeared all over it, and then it didn't have any tuners, and it didn't have a bridge or tailpiece or this pickguard or this nice old DeArmond pickup that you see on here, which we're not actually using right now. But
it sounds great, though.
But it's got a cool sound, and
it does.
It's got that authentic old blues sound to it.
So when you rebuild a guitar like that, do you try to find original parts, or you manufacture parts, or
I do
adapt parts?
I do. I just happen to, because I've been kind of doing this since around 1980. And so I've managed to, you gradually accumulate little parts off of, total wrecks that you just cannibalize and keep the things like this bridge I had in my junk box, as they say. And I had the tailpiece. And a friend of mine gave me this nice old pickup. And I made the pick guard out of a piece of ebony, and I had some tuners laying around, and just try to find stuff that's period and relative to the instrument. And so it's and just having fun doing it. And the beauty is always when you finally get to play them and they actually sound good.
Yeah, that sounds great.
That's the real joy of it. And
so, Michael, do you come from a musical family? How did you get started with your interest in playing?
Well, I have some musicians in my mother's side of the family. One of my uncles was a fiddle player, and and my mother loved to sing, and she was always singing around the house, and she used to make us all watch country music television every Sunday after church, and the Cal Worthington Dodge Show. This was down in Pasadena, California, where I grew up as an Okie brat, as they would say. My mother was an Okie, and my mother was actually a dust bowler who was born in Houlton, Texas, in 1913, which was pretty much the center of the Dust Bowl up there in the Texas Panhandle. And my dad was born down in Bearden Springs, southeast Oklahoma, which is now Hugo. He was born in 1910. I recently found out that I'm actually a sixth cousin once removed of Woody Guthrie.
I remember you saying
that. So that's kind of cool to have that in there. And I always figured I was related to Woody because, we were both sign painters and... I was a sign painter before I found out Woody was a sign painter.
Is that right?
And I was actually going to sign painting school in Pasadena, and this guy came up, and he had a Reader's Digest, and he goes, there was this article in there about Woody Guthrie, and talking about him being a sign painter, and he brought it over to me and says, you're not going to believe this, Guthrie. Woody was a sign painter. And of course, I had been just started playing guitar in the summer of 1964, and... Some of the first tunes I learned were, Woody Guthrie songs. And like a lot of early folkies in my generation, we all had the Woody Guthrie songbook and the Pete Seeger and Burl Ives and all that.
Right.
I
was a Burl Ives fan. He was quite an actor, too. He was in a bunch of early movies.
He had some great
parts. Yeah.
Yeah, he... I used to do one of his songs called The Golden Vanity. which is one of the old child ballads.
You still remember it?
I do, actually.
Do you want to take a break and think about it and play it for us?
I could play that one. Maybe I could use a little bit of water. My throat's suddenly cracking on me.
Here, have a drink. In the meantime, I'll play one of my favorite acoustic artists is Martin Simpson from the British Isles. Are you familiar with Martin Simpson?
I'm not, actually, but I might recognize him.
Yeah, so I'm going to play a cut off of his album Righteous and Humidity. He actually played here at the Royal, maybe 20 years ago, and he just wowed everybody. He's going to do a cover of Blind Willie Johnson's I Can't Keep From Crying. Well, we'll hear that. Let's see.
You know I can't keep from crying sometimes.
Simpson. You're listening right here to Make Room for the Blues on Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY. Who was that? Who was that? Anyway.
I was just warming up.
Yeah, it was Michael warming up. Strong. So you're listening to, we're doing a live show here. Michael Guthrie's here visiting. He's going to be performing at the Langham. He's to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Langham. Michael was one of the instrumental people who started it all there back in the day. And I brought along a bunch of acoustic folk and blues to play along with it. So that's what we're doing here tonight on Make Room for the Blues. And I think Michael's going to play us another song.
Well, yeah, this could probably be put in the blues category in a sense. I've been playing this song for almost 50 years, and I keep playing it because I think it's a great story of how you know, people in authority positions can get people that they think are expendable to do their dirty work for them and promise them treasure, you know, and then when it comes down to it, in the end, they just abandon them. And so it's called The Golden Vanity. It's from the 1700s, I think, and it's one of the old, from the book of child ballads. And so this I learned off of an old Burl Ives record, and I kind of just do my own thing with it. Well, there was a ship that sailed all on the lowland seas, and the name of our ship was the Golden Vanity. And we feared she would be taken by the Spanish enemy as she sailed in the lowland sea. Then up stepped our cabin boy, and boldly outspoke he, and he said to the captain, "What would you give to me if I would swim alongside of the Spanish enemy and sink them in the lowland, low, sink them in the lowland sea?" Then the boy made him ready, and overboard sprang he, and he swam alongside of the Spanish enemy. And with his brace and auger in her sight, he bored holes three, and he sank them in the lowland, he sank them in the lowland sea. Swam back to the cheering of the crew, but the captain wouldn't heed him, for his promise he did rue. And with scornful entreating, so loudly he did sue. And he left him in the lowland, lowland, low. He left him in the lowland sea. Then the boy, he swam around to the port side. He called up to his messmates, full bitterly he cried, "Oh, messmates, draw me up, for I'm drifting with the tide. And I'm sinking in the lowland, lowland, low. I'm sinking in the lowland sea." Well, the messmates drew him up, but on the deck he died. So they stretched him in a hammock, which was so fair and wide. And they threw him overboard, where he drifted with the tide. And he sank in the lowland, lowland, low. He sank in the lowland sea.
Nice one.
Because I must say, I did forget a crucial verse there where the captain said he would give him silver and he would give him gold, and his own fair young daughter, his bunny bride, shall be.
Oh, that's
if he would swim alongside of the Spanish into me and sink them in the lowland.
Wow.
So never believe these people when they promise you, especially when they promise you their daughter. Yeah. You know that's BS. You know.
That's, you know, so many of old blues songs came from the British Isles and, you know, came across with the miners and stuff who settled in the Appalachia and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And those songs got passed around and changed and fit into different cultural situations. It's a great history. And
yeah, I think
it fascinates me, as people know.
Yeah, I think blues goes way back, you know. I mean, I'm a big fan of... Well, I studied flamenco guitar when I was in high school, and I think flamenco is a very rich tradition of sort of a multicultural genre, you might say, way ahead of its time as far as world music goes, you might say. You know, the Persian gypsies immigrated to southern Spain, and the Moors took over a lot of Spain and
from other
parts
Africa.
Of Europe, from North Africa, yeah. And so they brought this Arabic influence in, and then the Castilian local Spanish culture mixed with also the Indian gypsy music, and you ended up with flamenco, and the traditional flamenco singers actually sing in Arabic.
Is that right?
And now flamenco is really quite popular in a more modern form, but. You know, it's really very much blues music, I think, in a lot of respects. So they were a persecuted culture in Andalusia, Spain, and
all those great things were happening in Spain until religion got out of control there with the Inquisition.
Isn't that true? Hey? I one of the guitars I picked up recently is actually a Salvador Ibáñez from the Salvador Ibáñez was a guitar maker in Valencia, Spain, who started in 1876, and in 1915 he brought his sons on board.
Oh yeah,
and then he died in 1920, and when the Spanish Civil War came on in the 30s, the two sons and some of the other employees were killed in a battle right in front of the guitar shop, and the guitar shop was destroyed, and this Japanese businessman who had been importing Salvador Ibáñez guitars to Japan bought the name Salvador, took the rights to the Salvador Ibáñez name, and actually with someone else formed what is now the what people call the Ibanez Guitar Company, but that's where that name actually came from. So.
Wow. Oh, thanks for sharing that. That's a good one. That's a story. Yeah. I don't know if you know Dan Obradovich. He's a good friend of mine, a guitar player. He kind of gives me guitar lessons. Uh-huh. But that's what his main thing was, flamenco guitar. He went over and studied in Spain and stuff. I'll have to introduce you sometime if the opportunity. Maybe he might be at Morgan Davis.
All right.
So why don't I play one of those songs that we're talking about that goes way back in the day, although it's kind of considered a blues song, and it's a song from that Bob Dylan, well, a lot of people did it, Blind Willie McTell, you know, they credit as the first recording version of Little Delia. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Bob started off as a country blues artist. His first album, Bob Dylan, back in, I think it was 65, was pretty much all country blues. And then in 1996, he revisited that again with an album called A World Gone Wrong, which kind of fits today with what's going on in the world, which was a Mississippi Chic song from back in the 30s. But I'm going to play, it's a wonderful cover of, well, we'll say the traditional Delia that was first recorded by the great Blind Willie McTell.
Delia's dear mother took a trip out west. When she returned, little Delia had gone to rest. All the friends I ever had are gone. Delia's daddy weeps, Delia's mama moans. Girl died at home. All the friends I ever had are gone. Cuddy's looking high, Cuddy's looking low. He shot poor Delia down with a cruel 44. All the friends I ever had are gone. High up on the housetops, high as I can see, looking for them around us, looking out for me. All the friends I ever had are gone. Man in a letter, trying to pass for way. Delia's in the graveyard, boy, 6 feet out of sight. All the friends I ever had are gone. Judge says to Cuddy, what's this noise about? All about them rounders, Judge, trying to cut me out. All the friends I ever had are gone. Cuddy said to the judge, what might be my fine? Judge says, poor boy, you got 99. All the friends I ever had are gone. Cuddy's in the jailhouse, drinking from an old tin cup. Delia's in the graveyard, she might never, never get up. All the friends I ever had are gone. Never did love be. All the friends I ever had are gone. Delia, Delia, how could it be? You wanted all them rounders, never had time for me. All the friends I ever had are gone.
Bob Dylan doing Delia. So, Michael, I've got an album of yours. This is called Michael Guthrie, Conscious Collective. When was this album put out?
In 2000, I put that out.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of old now.
Right. But, and you've got some songs that you like on this one.
Yeah, luckily I've had some of those tunes played in Buenos Aires and over in Norway. And a guy named Joe Kelly, the room upstairs in Connecticut, played one of my tunes. He's actually interviewed people like Prince on his show. So
wow,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. And now you're on Make Room for the
now
Blues.
Now I'm on Make Room for the Blues, and you're going to hear a cut here.
We don't have Prince though. But
how cool is that?
We've had Sonny Rhodes and some other bluesmen on here, and Michael Guthrie, and a lot of local people. So we were just, when that song was playing, we were talking about songwriting and just, you know, if you want to share with us your thoughts about writing a song.
I start off usually sometimes with music, but lyric-wise, I tend to write about my own personal experiences and sometimes viewpoints on current affairs or whatever, but this particular tune, Looking at the World, I wrote about sort of my development as a human. I was a very introverted person in my youth, and so it's kind of, lyrics are somewhat about how I was easily influenced by other people and how I gradually developed my own belief in myself. And so here's a song really for all the introverts out there. And
there's a lot of us. Your story sounds too familiar. Okay, here's Michael's song, Looking at the World, from the album Conscious Collective, and we'll play that and then have a little break, a little pause for the cause, some ads, and then we'll be back.
imprint they made. I was a young boy looking at the world outside.
Jerick's Cycle and Sport is a proud supporter of Kootenai Co-op Radio.
Shopping at your community-owned food store just got easier. The Kootenai Food Co-op is now open every day of the week from 7:30 in the morning until 9 at night. Stop in to pick up lunch on your way to work, or do your shopping after dinner when parking is free and there's lots of spots available. They're also open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on most statutory holidays. So come, shop at the co-op. Friendly, healthy, community-owned.
Do you know what the Kootenai Bakery Cafe Co-op does? They create all their food from fresh, whole, and mostly organic ingredients. Baking and cooking from scratch is what makes their food so delicious. The Kootenai Bakery Cafe Co-op at 377 Baker Street in downtown Nelson.
Local support for Kootenai Co-op Radio comes from Nelson Toyota on Wiremere Road.
Welcome back. You're listening to Make Room for the Blues, the Kootenai's Blues Show. That's heard live every Friday night from 7 till 9 and rebroadcast the following day, Saturday from 12 to 2 on Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY 101.5 in the lower Slocan Valley in Castlegar. And if you go to our website on KootenaiCoopRadio.com and scroll down on the right and find Make Room for the Blues, there's a year or two of podcast shows you can listen to any old time on some kind of device you might have. This hour of Make Room for the Blues is brought to us by Big Event Tent Rental. If you've got an event going on that you need a tent, get a hold of my friend Buck at BigEventTentRental.com and he'll set you up. This is a good time of year. If you got something going on, you might want to have a tent. He's got all kinds of tents. He'll come and set it up, take it down, and he'll take care of you without a doubt. We're doing a show tonight of acoustic music, and I've got a guest, one-time local folk and blues musician, Michael Guthrie's visiting. Michael's involved and has been involved in the Langham from the very beginning, and there's an event coming up this coming, not tomorrow, but the following Saturday. Michael, maybe tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it's on Thanksgiving weekend, the 10th, 11th, and 12th, and it's a big gala anniversary celebration of the Langham's 40th anniversary, 40 years of supporting arts and performance arts and visual arts. And many of you probably already know the Langham has a beautiful 80-seat theater there. I'm quite pleased to say that I've actually done about 3 concerts there over the years. And there's a gallery which is sponsored by the BC Arts organization, and there's a community gallery, and then upstairs there's studio spaces that are rented out. There's also a community room which is available for rent on a daily basis if anyone wants to do workshops. And there's also a really great Japanese heritage exhibit there on the second and third floor, and the hallways are lined with really nicely framed black and white photos telling the history of the Japanese internment there during the war, World War II. And then the third floor, there's a room dedicated to the Japanese exhibit, which has been made up to look as if like the rooms did when like whole families would live in one room. And and even some of the local Japanese people from the area contributed artifacts to this exhibit, so it's pretty cool. You can actually see some old slippers and things that people had, and it's quite a treasure, actually.
I didn't realize that Caslow had an internment camp too. I mean, everybody's yeah. familiar with the New Denver one, but Caslow did as well, eh?
Yep. I don't know if I'm exactly sure about this, but I think there were some 200, you know, people living in the Langham. And Tommy Obaba was one of them. He was a local carpenter in Caslow who actually worked with his father in Vancouver building fishing boats. And the military took over his father's business and made him build boats for the military. And Tomio eventually ended up in Caslow as part of this internment, and he actually ended up owning the Langham. He built 3 fishing boats in the Langham and tore out the back wall to get them out and shipped them out by, you know, rail. They used to have a dock for loading rail cars in Kaslow. And Walter Schmidt, who from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, is the person who actually sold the building to the Langham Society. Walter bought the building from Tommy Obaba a few years prior to the Langham buying it. And he bought it for $3,500, and he actually sold it to the Langham Cultural Society for $3,500.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of an interesting story there.
Little sweetheart deal there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Wow, so that's some interesting history. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm a history person, so...
You're going to play us another tune?
There's some music history there.
Yeah.
I learned this tune years ago from Rick Bochner, who played at the Village Green, as I said earlier. And this is a tune that Willie Brown used to do. It's called Mississippi Blues. The Delta, Mama Rock and have my fun. Well, I'm going down to the Delta, Mama Rock and have my fun. Well, I can drink my white light and whiskey, I can gamble and bring my baby home. Don't that Delta look lonesome, Mama? Ah, when that evening the sun goes down. Well, don't that Delta look lonesome when that evening the sun goes down? You might be looking for your baby, but you know that good girl just can't be found. Well, you know I love you, baby, although I know you treat your daddy wrong. Well, you know I love you, baby, although I know you treat your daddy wrong. Well, it's just I'm sick and tired of drifting, drifting through this world all alone. Just the same. Although I know you mistreat me, baby, well, I still love you just the same. Man, you think I've learned by now. Oh, but it grieves my heart so to hear some other man call your name. Well, I'm going down to the Delta, Mama Rock and have my fun. Well, I'm going down to the Delta, Mama Rock and have my fun. Well, I can drink my white light and whiskey, I can gamble. Home.
That's a Willie Brown song?
Down Home. Yeah, apparently he I don't know if you wrote it, but it's kind of one of those old blues tunes that's a lot of tunes evolved out
of.
Yeah, and it's a ragtime blues, and you can kind of hear really the rock and roll element in there, and because you can really just play a 12-bar 1/4-5 blues behind it.
Right. Willie Brown was a traveling partner and music partner of the great Edward Sunhouse, and he was also mentioned in Robert Johnson's song, Crossroads.
Yeah, there you go.
Crossroads Blues.
My old friend Willie Brown.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that might have been one, but I think he only had like two or three songs that he himself had been recorded.
Yeah, well, supposedly Robert Johnson, Brown was one of his mentors.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so
some of the great...
Can you show me how to play the guitar, Will?
Yeah. Well, Robert started off playing harp.
Well, there you go.
And when Sunhouse and Willie Brown would play, Robert would be sitting there, you know, idolizing and watching them. And as soon as they took a break, he'd jump up and play harp or grab somebody's guitar. And they all, you know, he was a beginner back then. And then he disappeared for a year. And, you know, woodshedded like crazy. And he lived with this woman. It was actually Honey Boy Edwards' mother. It was Robert Lockwood's mother. And she had a regular job, and she bought music. And he got to listen to all this great music, you know, Lonnie Johnson and all these others. And apparently, you know, he came back and, you know, was all of a sudden this gifted guitar player. And Willie Brown and Sunhouse were just... couldn't believe how much he had transformed.
Wow.
And then the whole story of he sold his soul to the devil.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he had disappeared and came back and was a virtuoso.
Right. Had to be the devil.
Yeah, that's right.
Couldn't just be hard work.
Yeah, exactly. Hard work and listening. Oh, well. So Michael and I were talking about... Two women blues player acoustic who live kind of in his area, one from Seattle, one from... Portland. I've played their music. In fact, I've been playing a lot of Alice Stewart lately, and maybe we'll play another one. But the other artist we were talking about is Mary Flower.
Yeah, yeah, great guitar player.
Yeah, really great.
Great person too.
Yeah, it's really. I'm going to play her cover of a rare Geechee Wiley's Last Kind Word Blues. Here's Mary Flowers. As soon as I get this, yes.
If I die in the German war, I want you to send my body, send it to my mother-in-law. If I get killed, please don't bury my soul. Oh, just leave me out, let the buzzards eat. When you see me coming, look across the rich man's field. If I don't bring you flowers, I'll bring you sun. Cry won't come. There'll be some walking down. And my mama told me just before she died, Lord, since the dawn I thought you'd be so wise. With the Mississippi River, you know it's deep and wide, and I can't stand right here, see my baby from the other side. What you do to me, baby, it never gets out of me. I mean, I'll see you after I cross the deep blue sea.
Mary Flowers. We're going to play an Alice Stewart cut, but first, Michael's got something to tell us.
Oh, yeah, I would just like to say, if you're going to be up in the Caslow area next Thursday the 9th, I will be playing at the Bluebell Bistro at 7:30, so stop on by and hear some. I've got about 4 different instruments I'll be playing there, and it'll be a nice variety of stuff, so.
So, once again, the date?
October 9th, Thursday, October 9th at 7:30.
At the Bluebell.
The Bluebell Bistro.
All right. Okay, here's a cut from Alice Stewart doing the traditional Sugar Babe. I think. Ah, this machine. Actually, I had problems with this yesterday, last week with this.
Doesn't want to play the
disc? No, it doesn't want to play. We'll try once more, people. Otherwise, we'll have to get Michael to do another tune. Let's see here.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sure he can come up with something. Okay, another tune, Michael. It's not playing. Sorry.
Okay, well, let's do another Lead Belly, another tune Lead Belly did here.
Sounds good.
The Midnight Special. Every time I play this anywhere, people always sing along, so
you don't want
feel free to sing along.
Yeah, out there, if you can sing, nobody will hear you.
Well, you wake up in the morning, you hear the ding-dong ring. Go marching to the table, you see the same damn thing, all on one table, a knife, a fork, and a pan. You say a thing about it, you're in trouble with the man. Oh, let the midnight special shine its light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. Well, if you ever go to Houston, boys, you better walk right. You better not stagger, Lord knows you better not fight, 'cause the sheriff, he'll arrest you and he'll carry you down. And before you know it, boys, you're penitentiary bound. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me. Thank you.
around the world do you know? Well, I know her by her apron and the dress she wore. Umbrella on her shoulder, a piece of paper in her hand. She's going to the captain, saying, turn loose my man. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine its ever-loving light on me.
All right, a little Lead Belly.
Yeah, some Lead Belly.
So I queued up another Lead Belly song while you were playing that one. This is from Alvin Youngblood Hart doing Gallows Pole, which is another one of those songs.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
that was you know, came over from the British Isles and was adapted as a blues country song. And we'll give a listen to that.
And something interesting too is that you've sort of coined me a songster, which is kind of what Lead Belly was, as a songster, one who plays not just blues but also folk and other genres as well.
Well, yeah, and you know, we could expound on that a bit because back in the day, you played for different audiences. It wasn't the same audience, whether it was black, white, city, country. And really, if you wanted to make a living as a musician, you had to play to the audience, right?
Exactly, which is what I do.
Yeah, and that's that term, I think, came out of Texas, you know, like Mance Limpscomb and Blind Lemon Johnson, and all those guys played for, you know, they played country, they play ragtime, they play for their audience, and so they weren't really labeled as blues artists. And, you know, I know some other blues artists and said they don't like, and you probably feel the same way, they don't really like being labeled.
I hear you, because, you know, like I grew up, music was music, and the stations I listened to, they played all kinds of music.
Yeah.
We didn't have these boxes of genres that people create now. And I was so really thankful when you told me that I was a songster out in front of the Ellison's Cafe once I played there. And I thought, well, that's cool, because I just have been struggling with what am I, you know, because I play so many different styles. I mean, I even do some Joe Beam stuff and, a Thelonious Monk tune and things like that, you know. And so, you know, it's... You go to these festivals, you apply to do festivals, and they always have you check the box. What are you, you know?
Yeah,
box are you in? You know,
kind of. When did that start? You know, it's weird because I have a buddy of mine from back in the days in the 60s when I lived in Boston, and he calls once in a while, and we talk about music because it was such a big influence on both of us. And he said this, you know, he said the same thing. Rich, you know, back then it was, you know, we listened to music.
Right,
we didn't try to put it in a box and say, oh, this is blues, this is rock, this is psychedelia. And recently, the Sonny Rhodes was in town, and his bass player, who's from Texas, an old black blues guy, who my wife and I are friends with, and he came over and he picked up my guitar, and he started playing some country blues, and you know, it was a great experience for me to hear him sing and play on my guitar.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
But anyway, cool. I said to him, "Oh, that's not, you know, you're playing some Texas blues." And he says, "No, Rich, I play blues. I don't say this is Texas, this is Chicago. To me, it's just music, and I'm a bluesician." He said,
"Yeah,
I'm not, you know." And I don't know why.
I think, you know, it's like there's always the people that want to categorize everything. And
yeah,
I guess there's a reason for that, I suppose. And, you know, it's like when you start getting into musicology and people trying to define what things are, and it starts getting really interesting.
But I think, at least from my journey in studying history of blues, is that the more you do that, the more you realize it's all blended.
Yeah.
You know, that it isn't defined.
At the Bluebell, I'll be using an instrument called a Macedonian tambura, actually, which is a really old instrument, and it's related to one of the first long-neck lutes that came from ancient Sumeria called a pandur. And I do a version of Skip James's Killing Floor on this instrument.
Oh, wow. So I'd like to hear that.
I like to really kind of step out of the box.
And, yeah.
And I also have a little two-string instrument called a rebob, which I do I do a version of Shortening Bread on there. And,
oh,
I,
nice.
And I do a little blues tune that I wrote on it. So here, you know, it's like, because these are the earliest forms of the guitar, really.
Right.
And... you know, so it's kind of fun to integrate them.
Yeah,
into.
Yeah. Well, that's creativity because, we could talk about what's original and what's not, but to me, an artist takes something that he heard and then interprets it and makes it his own. And,
right.
And, you know, whether it's a painting, a song, or anything, that to me, that's art. I mean, is putting it through yourself and expressing yourself.
Yeah, it's like to be influenced by other music,
right.
But not to, say, copy,
yeah. Yeah.
Copy it.
Yeah.
That's like someone once told me that Stevie Ray Vaughan, who I do admire and he's a great guitar player, but they told me that he played Hendrix better than Hendrix, and I thought, well, how could he do that?
Yeah, that's a stretch.
I mean, that's like, what?
Yeah. we'll ponder that. Since we've already figured everything else out, let's hear Alvin Young doing Gallus Pole. Wow, CD3 is definitely not happening.
It's on the
fret, yeah, that's okay. I'm going to switch CDs real quick here, people.
Time for a new unit.
It is. These are the. We've had some weird units, but these ones have been pretty good. Okay, here we go. We'll try it on this one. Here we go.
Family got $15, $20, $30. They could save him from the gallows pole. Could they go hang him? You don't bring a little money. Everybody come to see the boy at the jail. He was married too. He ran upside the jail house when he looked for who brought him some. Father come from now yonder coming, mother. Well, mother, you bring me the silver, mother, you bring me the gold. Well, you bring me, dear mother, silver from the gallows pole, yeah. What did you, yeah, what did you bring me, silver from the gallows pole? Mama brought everything she could rake and scrape. She wasn't gonna let the boy hang. Well, son, I brought you the silver. Son, I brought you the gold. Son, I brought a little everything. Same from a gallows bouquet. I brought it. Yeah, said I brought you same from a gallows pole. Come his wife, you know she done cleaned out the house, brought everything but the slop jaw, even
brought the 12-string guitar. Well, wipe the brand with the silver, wipe the brand with the gold. Where'd you ram it, he'll wipe it, save it from the gallows, okay. What did you, yeah?
That was Alvin Youngblood Hart off of, where is that album? True Blues. This is a great acoustic album, people. It's Taj Mahal's on it, Corey Harris, Alvin Youngblood Hart, Phil Wiggins, Guy Davis, Shemekia Copeland. It's a number of acoustic live concerts that were taped. Yeah, I've played cuts on it before. It's on the Telarc label. All right. So Michael and I were talking about the Gallus Pole song and how it was one of, back when he was 15, that was one of the first songs you learned, right?
Yeah, that's true, actually.
So how was it that, you know, what year was that, if you don't mind me asking?
That was summer of 1964.
So your early, that's right. Your early influence then was folk music, more
yes,
so
definitely.
Than, like for me, it was, I grew up in New York and we had a lot of R&B and soul, you know, early soul back then in the 50s and early rock and roll.
Well, I listened to all kinds of music, but as far as playing music, folk music was what I started playing because a friend of mine played folk music and I wanted to learn how to do it. And I went to a Pasadena high school, which, my art teacher was actually good friends with David Lindley, and we produced a folk concert we had a folk club there that my art teacher ran, and we produced a concert when I was in 12th grade, and David Lindley was a part of the concert. He had a bluegrass group called Mad Mountain Ramblers. And there was, we had an MC by the name of Dirty Dick Hargraves, who was a good friend of David Lindley. And then we had this other group, the Greenwood County Singers, who were very sort of a slick, folky takeoff of the new Christie Minstrels. And so there were these jokes back and forth on, bluegrass against the, because the bluegrass camp was always kind of, you know, didn't really approve of the popular folk group of people, and because folk music at the time was the folk revival, or what some people call the great folk scare.
Is that right?
Now in history books, actually, so a lot of the folk music you heard, unless you listened to underground radio like I did, was the poppy stuff like the Letterman, and the. The groups where they'd all run on stage wearing the same color sweaters and all that kind of stuff.
Like, how did Peter, Paul, and Mary fit in there? They were kind of...
Oh, they were in a class of their own, I think. I actually got to see them live once, and I was just totally blown away at how good they were live, and this would have been 67.
Yeah.
And I was stunned at
they were so
the level
pro.
Of their musicianship, and the power behind that trio was just unmatched, I think. And they cross all the boundaries, I think, really, truly. Like the, like the Mamas and the Papas did.
Yeah,
And these are like people who came out of folk. Like a lot of the San Francisco bands, you know, were folkies.
They were all folkies. And, you know, I did a special a month or two ago on Mike Bloomfield. And when Paul Butterfield band came to San Francisco, I mean, they just blew everybody away because they were, you know, they got on stage and they just hit it. And, you know, they were wearing sharkskin suits and pointy, you know, pointy Italian boots and stuff. But they were tight. And his guitar playing, because he'd been playing electric guitar, and all, you know, Jerry Garcia, all those guys who were guitar players from San Francisco all came to him. And he, you know, he was very generous and taught them all his licks and stuff because, you know, they had come from a folk background more so than, you know, tight, you know, Chicago electric sound.
Yeah. I was kind of sort of honored in an indirect way by Country Joe McDonald. I was on the bill with him at a festival in Ocean Shores, Washington, you know, quite a few years back. And I was the first act of the day, and he was the last. And he was there by himself. And of course, my show is usually four or five instruments, and I do some acoustic lap steel and have a little banjolin and regular guitar and stuff. And then he gets up there all by himself with a similar array. He's got a lap steel and a mandolin and a regular guitar. And here's Country Joe from The Fish, you know, yeah. Mr. Loud Electric up there playing acoustic. And then he made some reference, like, I don't really know what to play at these folk festivals, you know. So I went up on his break, and I said, hey, could you play, what's that song, Sweet Lorraine?
Oh, yeah.
You know, which I always love that song.
Me too.
And so he gets up there, and he does this great acoustic version of Sweet Lorraine with just a guitar. And you could hear all that, those great chords he plays and stuff, that San Francisco sound come through just with one instrument, you know. So
That was my favorite song off. That was their first album, Country Joe and the Fish. That was a great song, Sweet Lorraine. That takes us back.
Yeah, he was fun to see in that light, you know. Yeah, totally. So
I'm going to play you this cut. This is, I don't know if you've heard of this woman called Valerie June. She's kind of new on the scene. She was a street musician and did this recording, and she's getting a lot of playtime now. She plays guitar and sings, and this is an original song, Working Woman Blues, Valerie June, from her album Pushing Against the Stone.
Thank you.
That's Valerie June. What did you think about that, Michael?
Oh, I was really impressed with that. It was really nice. Very unique. And
She's
a great voice.
Yeah. I think...
There's your blend of music there, boy. You can hear a lot of different influences in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Good stuff. Music. We like it. Let's see. I think I might have gotten this other CD machine working. I was going to play a cut off of... you're familiar with Corey Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah, Corey came out in the 90s, and he was a total traditional artist. He did covers of old blues songs, and I think quite well. And then he, like a lot of artists, he expanded and has done a lot of great music. He's done world music, hip-hop, and but he's always rooted in the blues. But I like some of his early songs. I'm going to play him doing... a cover, once again, a cover of Blind Willie Johnson, one of my favorite early blues artists. Great song, God Don't Ever Change. Okay, we'll see if this machine will work for us. Yeah,
there you go.
He's got in the middle of the ocean, got in the middle of the sea. By the help of the great creator, truly been a god to me. Well, it's God. God don't never change. Hey, always will be God. He's God in creation. God when Adam fell, and God way up in heaven, God way down in hell. Well, it's God. God don't never change. Hey, always will be God. Hold it now. Influencing God and the doctor too. At the time of your sickness, it truly been a God to you. Well, it's God to the show. Everybody say, hey, always will be God.
Corey Harris, God Don't Ever Change, and great Blind Willie Johnson song. Okay, you're listening to Make Room for the Blues, the Friday Night Blues Show here, heard live every Friday from 7 to 9, rebroadcast the following day, Saturday, Kootenai Co-op Radio, CJLY 107.5 in the Silverton, New Denver area, and 96.5 up in the Caswell area, and I hope a lot of people are listening.
Yeah, Caswell folk.
Native son, Michael.
Hello, Caswell.
Yeah, hello, Caswell. Michael Guthrie's here. And his daughter, Jolie's here now. She's a Caswell girl. Want to say hi? Spin that mic around there.
Born and raised.
Kootenai girl.
Proud Kootenai girl.
Yeah. And so you play with you sing with your dad sometime?
I do sometimes, yeah.
Any chance we could get? I hate to put you on the spot. You want to sing a song with your dad?
Sure.
Okay, that'd be great. Just get close to the mic. Yeah, snuggle up to your dad.
This is sort of our acoustic version of an old bebop tune by Thelonious Monk called Well, You Needn't. Wanna get high?
Well, you needn't.
Just pick your feet off of the ground.
You don't wanna lose the connection
to going up
and getting down.
Never get something for nothing.
You gotta give something away.
The whole is constantly changing.
Day to night.
Not today.
Back to white.
Black to gray.
With all your might.
You try and stay. Top of it all, but it's round like a ball. You slip up and you fall, and it pops, and that's all. You wanna get high?
What do you need it?
Just keep yourself under control. Step out of your mind for a minute. Feel the distance as you go. Feel the distance as you go. The distances you go.
All right.
Sort of a shortened version there.
Yeah, well,
of course, Dad kind of really goofed, and he usually Jelly sings the first line than me. So you know how.
Well, I kind of put you guys on the
all
spot.
All the fun of it.
I just threw you right up there, Jolie. Thanks for responding. Wow, that was nice. It's been great having you. I mean, 2 hours went by like nothing, man. That's unbelievable. So tell us once more about what's going on in Caslow, and so everybody up there in Caslow, you should know by now.
Yeah, Caslow folks, although I did run into someone who didn't know the dance was happening, but next weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, of course, October 10th, 11th, and 12th is the Langham 40th Anniversary Gala Celebration. So please come on by the Langham at 7 o'clock, a wine and cheese welcome party. And I'm sure everyone is welcome to come and support this great institution. And we hope for another 40 years or more, even keep going and going and going. Yeah, and thanks to, I just want to say personally, thanks to everyone, you know, throughout the years, who has contributed to keeping the Langham alive and supporting the arts and culture in general, which is, as we all know, there are many forms of culture, and it is it doesn't have a top tier or a bottom tier. So
that's right.
Please come.
And the way the world is now, we need more of arts and culture to keep us on the even keels.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. So. Well, thanks again, you guys, for coming, and look forward to seeing Michael's going to let everybody, I'll remind everybody that Morgan Davis, Canadian blues entrepreneur, is going to be playing next Sunday at the Expressions Cafe. I'll talk more about that next week on the Make Room for the Blues on Friday.
Yeah.
But look forward to seeing you and your wife coming to join us at that show.
Well, thank you, Rich, and thank you, Kootenai Co-op Radio, for having me on the show.
Here. Always a pleasure, Michael. You're always welcome. Thanks for coming. Okay, I'm going to, we're going to come to the end of the show. I'm going to play another cut off of Michael's CD. Do you have a recommendation for another cut?
Military.
That's, I've got that one queued up and ready. Okay, here we go. Thanks, guys.
Take your smoke, they wanna take your children. It's enough to make you choke. When they're done flying in their airplane, they'll be coming down on you.
for some more for that old red, white, and blue. They're evil in a White House, sucking off of you, trying to change the world with their military coup. Third world genocide and smart bombs on TV. No time for negotiating, we got a world of free. It's a new world order dictated from on high. Bribe for supporters from his office in the sky. Order for me, order for you. I tell you all this order, it just gives me the blues. It just gives me the blues. It's cuckoo.
Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. That was a fun show. Thanks for people who called. You've been listening to Make Room for the Blues right here in Kootenai Co-op Radio. If you're listening on Friday night, stay tuned for Mountains and Valleys is coming up next. And if you're listening on Saturday, Tracks on Wax. I want to remind everybody, if you're in the Caswell area, head out for that big show and dance and celebration of the Langham next Saturday night. And if you're here in town or you want to hear Morgan Davis, tickets or advance tickets are available at Expressions Cafe. That's the old Express newspaper, $15 in advance. I'll be talking more about it next Friday and hope to see everybody come out and support blues, acoustic blues. Okay, I'm going to close out with where we started, a song by Martin Simpson doing Bob Dylan's Boots of Spanish Leather.
Sailing away, my own true love, sailing away in the morning. Is there something I can send you from across the sea, from the place that I'll be landing? No, there's nothing you can send me, my own true love. Nothing I'm wishing to be warning you. Just carry yourself back to me unspoiled from across that lonesome ocean. But I just thought you might long want something fine, made of silver or golden, either from the mountains of Madrid or from the coast of Barcelona. But if I had the stars from the darkest night, or the diamonds from the deepest ocean, I would forsake them all for your sweet kiss. That's all I'm wishing to be wanting. But I might be gone such a long, long time. It's only this I'm asking. Is there something I can send you to remember me by, to make your time more easy passing? Well, how can you ask me again? You know it only brings me sorrow for the same thing I would want today, I would want again tomorrow.